This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 18th, episode 2120, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, I'm back in Norman, Oklahoma, and I was in Southern California or Central California all week long, all weekend long at Monty Roberts' Flag is Up. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I was so bummed because it actually was rainy and cold the whole time, and I had this cool rental car that the top went down. I never got to put it down, but then I come home, Glenn, and remember, as a horse chick with horses, and you're like, my baby's gonna be cold, I have to go blanket it. And so I've been going out and blanketing these horses when it gets, you know, like around 35 is about when I blanket most of my horses. And over the weekend, Chad, he doesn't blanket, he can't do it. He just,
I am with him.
He's like, imagine this.
I'm with you, Chad.
I get this new horse off the track, Drax. He's out in the pasture, and Chad can't, he calls me, he's like, I can't blanket him. So here's this human running at this racehorse with a giant heavy blanket in an open field.
Well, see, I would never do that. Like, I've learned that lesson.
I would never do that. Babe, did you get a halter? Well, no. Well, then how the hell are you going to be a complete stranger or predator walking up to a horse with a giant blanket? Like, you're never going to happen. So three nights the horses went with a blanket. And I get up this morning. I got in really late last night. I was like, kind of cold. It was 19 degrees this morning. I'm like, oh, my God, the horses. And you know what? I walk out and the damn horses are fine.
Yeah, they're fine.
What have I been doing this whole time? Why have I wasted my life blanketing you jerk faces and you don't even need me? Ugh, so frustrating.
Well, I did want to say that Jamie's sound is going to improve, apparently.
Yes, I am.
I'm breaking up a little, so that's why I brought it up.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm on the list for fiber this week, guys. Hang in there.
Yeah, please, fiber gods, send the fiber to Jamie's house this week. Please.
Tell me about it.
Please.
Okay.
And your in-laws are probably wishing the same thing.
I'm sure they would like to get me out of here.
For new listeners, Jamie did have good internet when she lived in Phoenix. Then when she moved to this remote farm in the middle of godforsaken Oklahoma, there was no internet. And now she has to go to her in-laws, who have the last remaining dial-up connection in the world.
I'm currently coming at you through dial-up and Internet Explorer
That's right. So hopefully we'll solve that problem this week. And now that you're doing two shows, getting your own internet is probably going to be something you really want to do.
Yeah. Tell me about it. What's the status?
Okay. So why don't we go to Jennifer first? Why don't we go to Jennifer first, and then we'll talk about that. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, Kirsten Booth is going to be stopping by to talk about having been crowned the champion of the Ram Invitational Freestyle Reining this past week, I think it was last week, at the National Western Stock Show. And then after the break, Leslie Wiley breaks out the wacky world of Horse Nation. And filling in the negative space, we're going to share some bad advice for horse people by horse people.
So is she saying we're negative? I don't know what that means, actually, the negative space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mm-hmm. sure.
You'll find out.
My Daily Winnie goes out to... One of our auditors, Jana Brown Vallome, I think is how you say it. And we also want to welcome a bunch of new auditors from last week. We had Kelly Gross, Carolyn O'Hare, Bailey Smith, Mustangs Mend Equine Assistance Learning and Rescue, and Debbie Porter. We want to welcome all of those as auditors. If you haven't found the auditor page on Facebook, just search for HRN Auditors and ask to become an ask to enter the room, and we'll let you in. So that's a lot in 1 week, so we're really happy to have you all.
Awesome. Hey, Glenn.
Yes?
You missed an important step.
What's that?
To becoming a member of the Auditor's Facebook page.
Oh, yes. If you want to become a member of the Auditor Facebook page, you just search for... I did say that. You search for HRN Auditors. If you want to become an auditor, go to horsesinthemorning.com.
You have to actually be an auditor first,
yes,
though,
and search for the auditor banner on the homepage. You'll find it there. It's simple and easy to do.
Yeah.
This is what it sounds like when mom and dad fight, and you're in the kitchen, and you're like, oh my God, please stop fighting. This is awkward.
Anyway, Jamie's Daily Winnie.
Oh, you already played
it.
The sound.
Yes.
My Daily Winnie goes out to everybody. You know, this weekend I went to California, which is, I'm a little sleepy. I didn't get in until after midnight last night. So I ended up early for this. So I just want to give the Daily Winnie to all the participants, volunteers, the people that There's so many people involved with bringing this group of military veterans and first responders in the Horse Sense and Healing Clinic to Flag Is Up Farms. And of course, Flag Is Up Farms does it. Join Up International does it for free. So everything is it's a really big organization, and it takes a lot of people to put this on. And it was an honor to be a part of it. So volunteers and sponsors and people that are there, there's a guy, it's called Patriot Outreach, and he fundraises for all of the military members from all over the country to come to this. Their hotel is paid, their flights are paid for, their food, they have a per diem. All of it is on this group called Patriot Outreach, and they were really, really amazing. I had such an incredible experience, Glenn, and you can't go and you can't do what I did this weekend, which is, again, military first responders using horses and join up to heal. You can't do what I do and not be affected, you know, especially when I have the experience of a military life, you know, where my husband just retired from 20 plus years. They call him a lifer. He's a lifer in the military. But everybody that comes to that clinic, Glenn, they come because they want to be better. And they either want to be, it was a big theme, was people wanted to be better parents and more present for their kids. And they wanted to be better friends and better spouses. And I did ask the group at one point, I was like, can I anonymously kind of touch on some of your stories? And just because I want people to understand what we do at Horse Sense and Healing and the kind of people that we see. And everybody 100% hands down said yes. I mean, we get there and we start just introductions. People are crying because there's so many people that are hurting in this world. But I mean, there's a mother whose son committed suicide, you know, and it just the kind of trauma that she has associated with it. And she's got three other kids and she just wants to be a better parent. Then you got a guy that came back from war and hasn't slept in, you know, God knows how long. And all he wants to do is be a better dad. And then you got the tattooed, bearded, you know, big, tough guy. Looks like he's been riding around on Harleys forever. And it turns out he's the biggest softy of them all with the horses, you know. a mom and daughter team. The mom was in the military, did a lot of jumps out of airplanes. And had a military husband that was not so nice, and the kind of the ramifications of the kids and what they've had to go through. And so the daughter came. Then we had, oh my gosh, we had a guy, and he was a first responder, and his job, he and his wife are both nurses, but his job, Glenn, was, and I want you to imagine this, he was the guy with the paddles, and he was like a cardiac specialist, nurse, where he's like brought people back to life, or he didn't. And he's been doing it for 40 years. So obviously the technology, how many he lost, you know, they said that they'd been with, the wife said she'd been with over 1,000 people as they died.
Oh, wow.
You know, and like, you know, my dog died and I still can't sleep. I can't imagine being there. So I, you know, me, I have to like start interviewing people. And he was in the round pen, and when you achieve your join up and stuff, we like to sit and talk afterwards while the horse is kind of around you, and people really open up, and I cannot believe some of the things that people would tell me. I was totally over my head in the counseling part. I did great with the teenage girl. She and I are besties. She's probably going to come hang out with me this summer. But the rest of them, I'm not. They're so much smarter and more amazing than me. But this one, you know, I just ask him a lot of questions, because I found that that's fascinating. He said that basically people would, he's like, they would die in front of him. And they'd be gone 5 minutes. And then they all of a sudden wake up and they see me, you know, like boom with the paddles, or how many people you could lose, or you, how many people you save. And so, of course, I have to ask him the question, like, what would you ask somebody about that who just saw somebody who'd been dead for 5 minutes?
That's what you asked him?
No, I said, what would you ask somebody who had seen somebody who had been dead for 5 minutes?
Jeez, I don't know.
Where did you go? What did you see?
Oh! I thought you. Yeah, I was getting confused who you were asking. Okay, got it. Okay, you asked the patient. Got it.
So I asked him. I said, what did they say? What did they see? Where did they go? And he was like, you know, every single one of them said the same thing. Really? Every single one of them. Yeah, it's some version of the same thing. That. There's a light, and they go into the light, and he said that they said that they were not in pain anymore, and they wore glasses. They didn't have glasses on. There was details. They didn't have any glasses on. They didn't walk with a limp. They didn't hurt anymore. They were just walking, and the older people, he said it was like they were in the 40s or the 50s all of a sudden. Probably, you know, speculate why, but he's walking down the street and these people are in their 40s, the 1940s, and they're dressed to the nines, and they walk down the street through this light, and everybody that they love is standing right there, and nobody is injured, and no, everybody's younger, and everybody feels great. And one person walks up to them and says, "We're so happy to see you, but it's not your time. You have to go back." And then they wake up and he's there.
Boy, you hear those stories, and obviously there's been a million books written, but you don't actually ever meet a person who's talked to that many people who have the same story.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just chills and just amazing. I found that those people were amazing. And to do that job and to be there for people that have seen so much and lived. And you know, he said that sometimes there's... the people don't want to be brought back if it happens again. They're like, let me go. I want to go back to that place, you know?
Well, there was no pain.
No pain.
Right.
Everybody they love was there, and, you know, that had gone on. But I just thought that was a story worth telling. I felt like it was incredible. You know, we spent time with horses and Mustangs and quarter horses. We even have a saddlebred this time, thoroughbreds. Monty's there. He does a demo. And my God, that guy, I don't know if you guys know, but Monty Roberts is number one. He's very talented with horses. Number two, he's very talented with people. He sat down and just said, I mean, You know what? I think that the biggest takeaway that one of the big takeaways that he said was, you cannot be a selfish person if you plant a tree. You know, if you plant an oak, you are not selfish because you're not planting it for yourself. You're planting it for other people. Mm. And that was kind of the theme, was like, plant the oak tree. You know, don't do it for yourself. Do it for the other people. And I'm shocked at how...
That's the story of his life, isn't it? Really?
Uh-huh. It really is. Yeah. It really is. I'm just...
Well, he's planted about 10 million of them.
Yeah. And I think about 600 of those were actual oak trees on his farm. Yeah. So I don't think anybody thinks, I'm going to see these things when they're 50 years old, but he has. it was spending time with the horses. One of the guys, there's a pastor, and his name is Pastor Chuck. And, he has been working as a cop on the streets for years and years and years. And he's also, you know, and as far removed as he is from being on the streets, and he still, you know, counsels, he was telling this story about being in the hotel. And this guy is, he's older, and he probably retired. I don't know how long ago he retired, but again, he still counsels, and he's a pastor. And he's telling a story about how he's that morning in the hotel room, he gets up and he's brushing his teeth and he's got the lights off because he doesn't want to wake up. His wife and his grandson are in the room, and he's brushing his teeth, and how you can't let go of some stuff. His wife flips on the light and walks in, and he's like, I took that toothbrush and held it like I was going to shank somebody, just immediately like that. And it's his wife coming into the bathroom. Mm. She didn't know he was in it. I mean, just the things that you hold on to when you go through that, you know, and our government, they send these guys off to war, and then they come back and there's nothing to help. Nobody helps them. They don't, you know, you have to fill out so much paperwork and all this training and all these testing to get into the military. And then when you get out, it's like, here's your papers. Bye. And they just have so much that they need help with. So,
you've seen a lot now, in the multiple times you've been over there, and you've seen this particular program at Montes. You've seen a lot of people come through it. Does it help everybody, or are there just guys that aren't even ready for the horses yet?
I think,
and I'm using guys in the, you know, both sexes.
Monty talked about one guy that came in, you know, sits in the corner, arms crossed, big tough guy, you know, and we kind of had a similar situation this time, but he was a little more open. But this guy, arms crossed, wanted nothing to do with it. And you'll have to ask Monty to tell you the story because I won't do it justice, but. The guy was like, I'm not messing with no stupid horse thing. I don't even know what I'm doing here. Blah, blah, blah. And he was really angry. That guy, that same guy, is now doing his own equine assisted therapy for veterans program. Like that. I feel like, and because at the end of the weekend, we all just sat there and talked about, you know, they sit there and share kind of things that they are taking away. And the guy that was the most stoic and kind of quiet through the whole weekend just started talking and kept talking, and he talked for 5 minutes. And I was sitting next to him. I'm like, what is, like, how is he? So you don't know how much you're affecting people. And I'll tell you what, doing things like this is going to make me, what my takeaway is I feel like I'm a fairly, you can disagree, but a fairly balanced individual. And then I just go there and I'm like, wow, there's so many ways I can improve myself and be a better wife and a better mother and a better horse trainer and things like that. So, I can't say that I've seen people that haven't been helped, to answer your question.
So, and that's why so many of these programs are popping up all over the country. And
because they're working.
Right.
They're working.
And it really makes equestrian first world problems that we do on Mondays seem really ridiculous after everything.
Yeah, I'm not doing those today. I was like, I got to take a break from fake problems. We do it tongue in cheek, and it is a joke.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't even process. You know what? I will tell you though, I don't have many friends here in Oklahoma. Wait, I have no friends.
You will, but
and my dear friend Claire from Ireland, she's also a certified instructor, and I've kind of seen her journey and she became certified way before I did. And to watch her, oh my gosh, we sat on our bed and like talked and drank wine for hours every night. And I was like, I miss having friends to sit in bed and drink wine with and talk about stuff. We talked about boys and we talked about horses and we talked about everything. I mean, you know, it was just awesome. So,
well, and you saw a listener friend, right? One of our auditors?
I did. And she was so pretty and she was so nice. It was awesome. Her name is April Shapiro. She came up and she's just in the classroom because the Christie, the certified
horsemanship association. Yeah. Which will be on tomorrow. So, yeah.
Yeah. So they were doing a clinic at the same time, a certification.
Ah, okay.
So April was taking that course at the farm.
Oh, cool.
And I remember Monty going, I don't know why Debbie books all these clinics at the same time. I'm not kidding you. I mean, she keeps him busy, man.
Actually, Debbie's smart to do that because then those people see what you're doing. You know, it's a crossover effect.
It was great because Monty did a demo each day and they got to come and watch it too. So April was like, oh my God, I can die now. I was like, girl, I know. I feel that way every time I get lucky enough to be here and see this kind of thing. So April Shapiro was awesome. She was very sweet and I had a really good time meeting her. I wish I could have spent more time with her, but gosh, we are so busy. You know, everybody goes out to dinner at night and they're like, okay, Jamie, you want to meet us at 6:30? And I was like, sure. And then I go up and I take a shower and no.
Story of our lives. We're going to talk about that sometime this week. It was a post I saw on an Inventor page. We're going to talk about that exact thing sometime this week. But first, that was wonderful. It was good to hear about that. And it's so cool to hear. I saw the Shatners are supporting one of their big charity drives right now is for a nonprofit that supports military equine assisted therapy. So they're out there. I know there's a lot of programs out there and they're becoming more popular because they work. So it's really cool to hear about yours. And what else is really cool is your new show, which we said we were going to talk about 20 minutes ago. So let's talk about it. Retired Racehorse Radio. Yeah. It's now approved, everybody. So iTunes has approved it, which means it's going out to all the players right now. Whatever player you use on your phone, it may not be on Google yet. We have to double check that. But it, like I have used Pocket Casts and it's there. The Horse Radio Network app has an update. It may not be available for iTunes yet. Apple takes a couple days to approve the updates, but it is available right now on Android. So you have an app update for Android for the Horse Radio Network app. You can find that, download that right now. And you'll see the new shows on there. So Retired Racehorse Radio should be hitting every place that you normally get your podcasts.
Just so you know, that's the first time Android has ever been ahead of anything.
No, Apple's been taking forever to do all this stuff. I don't know what's going on, but Android is ahead of that, and Apple will be probably by the next couple of days. You'll see an update, but you definitely want to do your updates if you're listening on the app, and you'll see it. It's right up there by Horses in the Morning. Retired.
It was
Racehorse
a great
Radio.
Show. You know, we got to talk to Elisa Wallace. We talked to an owner of one of the famous 52 thoroughbreds.
Yeah, she was fun too.
And she described what it was like to go and to be one of the people that actually answered the viral video and didn't just call me. You got to call this.
And what was neat is the educational component with Elisa talking about what she looks for when she goes to get a thoroughbred in the first place.
I thought Elisa did a great job.
When she shops. Yeah.
It's shopping for your off-the-track thoroughbred. So it was really, really fun. And I was very proud of it. And Glenn, you'll be proud of me. I actually listened to the first like 10 minutes.
Jamie never in the 10 years we've been doing thousands of shows together has ever listened back to one of our shows.
I don't want to listen to myself. You guys like hearing yourself on your voicemail? No, nobody likes hearing themselves. And I was damaged in a career of radio where they would take words that I had messed up And they would play them, they would cut them out and play them back to me. Like if I said something too Southern, they would play it back to me over and over and over again.
That reminds
me,
I have something from that first episode I want to play back for you.
Yeah, I'll quit. I'll quit. And you know what?
As a matter of fact, before anyway, you took this job, you told me that. You said, if you ever come back to me, I think you gave me that warning before episode number one.
Probably. It damaged me. I have PTSD, like some post-traumatic stress from listening to myself because of the jerk face, Dan, I can't use his last name, put me in a, locked me in a room and made me listen to mistakes. That will damage your psyche forever. There's certain words I don't even say anymore. Okay.
We make mistakes all the time. You know what? You move on. You go on. Nobody notices them anyway, right? I mean,
that is not okay in real radio, Glenn. No messing up.
That's why
up.
Podcasts are so nice. We can do whatever we want. We can say whatever crappy stuff we want and people still listen. Look at
you
that.
You know what? I can sneeze on this radio show and you don't get mad. My dog can bark and you don't get mad.
Well, I don't have a cough button, so you can even cough and I can't do anything about it. And, you know, doing the live show, you know, some people, I still get this question a lot. Why do we still do it live? Because, you know, so few people actually compared to the big number, so few people listen live and we still do it because we like to do it. I mean, that's the way we like to do it.
It's just so hard for me to not be live.
Oh, it's killing you to do the new show.
Oh, gosh.
Because there's a lot. When we do the shows, like she did Retired Racehorse Radio, episode one, there's a lot of starting and stopping. And you start and stop, and you talk about things, and then you call the guest, and you talk to them for 5 minutes, and then you start. And that's just killing Jamie.
No, it's can you just get them on the phone? We'll just go with it.
And what people don't realize is if we do an hour show, it takes that's recorded, it takes 2 hours to record it. So we always tell the hosts, if you're going to do a half an hour show, it's going to take you an hour. If you're going to take an hour and a half show, it's going to take you 3 hours. So to do a Horses in the Morning show when we pre-record them takes us 2 to 3 hours because you're starting and stopping. And a lot of people don't realize that, but it does take that long. That's just the way it's the nature of the beast. And you'll learn.
And that is why I will not do that. I can't do it on the show. That one's tough, but we're going to record number two tomorrow. So we'll see how long I can make it.
While Jennifer's getting our guest on, let me just mention that I was out over the weekend doing a Finding Florida episode with Jemmy, and we were down in Miami. We had been invited to the Miami Boat Show, which gets 100,000 people over 5 days. You have to park way away, and they boat you over.
100,000 people. That's like the people that go to Rolex.
It's crazy.
Go to see boats.
It's crazy. It is crazy big. And you either have to park. You park at the stadium, one of the sports stadiums in Miami downtown, and then they bus you over, or you take a water taxi over. They make 49,000 trips with the water taxis in 5 days back and forth. Literally.
Is that a real number?
Yes. And you should have seen them all. They had them lined up. There must have been 30 water taxis just loading people. And we waited for 25 minutes to a half an hour to get on one. There's that many people that go to this
thing. You could have swam faster.
So I got to tell you, one of the things that impressed me the most, one was horses are not expensive at all, guys. They are not expensive. Horses are not expensive compared to boats. So we interviewed a guy who makes the biggest outboard motors. Those big motors you see in the back of the boats. It's 650 horsepowers per motor. 650 horsepower. That's two of your Dodge Ram trucks. Motors.
Okay. What's a Ford Mustang?
A Ford Mustang would have been about 400 horsepower. So yeah, two of those in a motor. Okay. And on this one 25-foot boat in front of us, they had four of them. That's 2,500 horsepower on this boat. Now,
where are you going in a race, Cuba?
I don't know why you need that much. But the thing about it was that little 25-foot boat, I mean, it was nothing. It wasn't a yacht. It was a boat. 25-foot boat with those four engines on it was $700,000. It was crazy. And he said they'll use a gallon of fuel every, what was it, minute and a half? With
was an F-16 up in the back of that thing?
I mean, when he started them up for us, it sounded like that. It definitely sounded like that. But every boat there, I could afford the steering wheel is what I determined. They were selling steering wheels, and I could afford that. But
$700,000 for a vessel of death. That is what you
and
buy.
It's not one you sleep in or anything. This is not, it was not big. It was like a fishing boat. you know. And then we went, you know, we went and we did the duck boat. And there, I mean, we're down in Miami where the, you know, the West Palm Beach. We actually, we're in Palm Beach for the duck boat. The number of
That's the boat that, hold on, that goes on the land and then it goes into the water.
Right. It's a tour.
They just have an accident where like
they did.
17 people died on a duck boat.
Yes, they did.
Why would you get on a duck boat?
So we were on a safe duck boat, apparently, because we didn't die. But it, the number of boats and the amount of money, now that I know the price of all those boats those people are driving around out there, it's crazy the amount of money that's in this world. So, you know, now I'm not going to complain so much about how much horses cost because, wow, it's just nuts.
But it's all relative. Like, I don't want, like, you're giving me the hint of like, oh, yeah, you know what? They're not expensive. I could just go do more. No, it's all relative to your own income.
That's true. That is true.
You're that giving true. Irresponsible advice on this show, Glenn. We don't give irresponsible advice on the show, but we do have bad advice for horse people by horse people coming.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Omega Alpha Equine.
Okay, well, Omega Alpha Equine is something that we all love. Funny enough, I was reading, I got to find this here in my notes because I felt like it was worth mentioning. This is a Facebook page called the Horse Health Discussion. And I really think Omega Alpha Equine should get involved with the Horse Health Discussion because she had a question. It's a woman who goes on to the Horse Health Discussion. So I have my horse at the new place, private property, and the guy that lives there told me today that he put whitening strips on my mare's incisors because he thinks anything on his property should have white teeth. Are the ingredients harmful? That's not the question you should ask. You should ask why somebody's putting whitening strips on your horse's teeth. Omega Alpha Equine does not have.
Is that
Omega
a real
Alpha.
Thing?
It is an honest. She said, "This is not a joke, comma. I'm dead serious." Of the 247 comments, 247 of them say, "Get your horse out of there! What are you doing?" Honest to God, real thing. Horse Health Discussion is fantastic. You can't. They have grooves in their teeth for a reason. That's like a part of their tooth. It's not that they're bad. There's so many things wrong with that, Glenn.
Are there dentures for horses, by the way? Is that next?
If there are, Chili needs them. So if you could send them to me, that'd be great. Omega Alpha Equine gives you actual, healthy, natural things. We're going to talk about in our bad advice for horse people by horse people. We're going to scare the hell out of you in a funny way. Omega Alpha Equine doesn't scare you because everything is natural and herbal. They have anything from, you know, hooves all the way up to the tip of their ears. They can help. So I'm a big fan of their gastrointestinal products. And also, for the lazy horses or the slow horses or the hot horses, there's something for everyone. If you have a question, go to omegaalpha.com or you can email me and I'll put you in touch with somebody, jamie@horseradionetwork.com. I'm a huge fan of the company and the products, obviously. Omegaalpha.com. All right, white strips. They don't sell those.
It's not really needed either. All right. I don't think that the mares look at the geldings and go, wow, they're ugly teeth. I wonder if they do. Maybe they do. We don't know, right?
That's why they do the Flemmen response. The Flemmen response, which is the lift their lip up and curl their lip. It's they're showing off their teeth.
Well, there
How
you
white
go.
They are.
That's it. That's what it is. You know, Skinner does that a lot. So
this guy was great. I'm getting some white strips. Omega Alpha, you got to work on that.
All right, let's talk. Well, Jennifer is trying to get our guest on here and not having much luck. So I wanted to talk to you about something. And did you see the post that Jonathan Holling put up over the weekend?
So Jonathan Holling is a 4-star eventer. He's an amazing dude in Florida. And yes, I did see it because it's so interesting.
Can I read it to you? So, because I want to talk about this a little bit, because it's something that, you know, us having owned a pretty large boarding operation and training, you know, Jennifer did a lot of lessons and things like that in the past, and we've owned big farms, you know, 100 acres, and this just hit home. I think it's going to hit home for everybody that come, hundreds of comments. He said, "This is not a complaint. I love what I do. It is more of a heads up for young people getting into the horse business. don't listen to what people tell you. There is a way to make a living in horses, and while you won't be rich, it isn't a bad life. However, today is my day off, in quotes. I have ridden 6 horses and taught 1, and I'm about to go trim trees on the farm. When was my last real day off? Well, if you count the USEA annual meeting, then it was the beginning of December. If you consider that work, then it was an evening and one day we spent in Orlando in October. Technically, it seems like I never have to go to work, but you'd be the judge. And that is so true. There is never a day off. When you're a professional in the horse business, whether you're running a boarding stable, even if you're away, you're thinking about it, right? Even look at you. You were actually working. You went to Monty's this weekend. Yeah, it's like a little mini vacation, but you're working. You're doing.
Oh my gosh, 12-hour days.
Yeah, you're working. I mean, and then you're also thinking about your horses not having blankets at home the whole time you're gone.
All I talked to was Chad. I'm like, okay, so here you go. Yeah, that's all we did was on the side talk about the horses. Wow. This is really stupid.
So Jennifer, let's bring Jennifer into this. You taught 10 lessons a day. We took care of the horses, and then we had to fix the fence when they would break out them at 2 a.m, and we'd get the knock on the door that the horses were loose on the road. How do you feel about what he said?
It's true, but it's your choice. You choose that lifestyle. It's not slavery, so I've got no right to complain.
Jamie, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's not that he's complaining.
He's not, and he is saying he's not complaining. Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it is a good heads up for people in the horse business, young people, because yes, you can make a living. You can. You're not going to get rich. But you will work every day and your work is enjoyable. It's exactly what he's saying. And I wouldn't trade anything.
But
you know,
there,
I mean,
no matter who you are and how much you enjoy your job, there are just times when the days don't go well, things don't go well, things happen, and you get to the end of the day, and you do question, you say, I really need a day off. Why can't I get a day off? Why can't I get a break? And that usually, and then there's the times when things are going really well when you don't even think about it, right? But everybody has those times. And the thing is, and I think what he's saying is people with 9-to-5 jobs, whether they like them or hate them, get a break. From their job. A lot of people get a break from their job. And I think that's what he's saying. And it's so true. There were a couple comments here too. And Martha, I love what Martha said, because I'm finding this to be true. When we started this, I thought this is going to be a cool gig where we'll do a couple shows. Maybe we'll make some money and we'll do something else to make a living. And then it grew and grew and grew. And now we're working 100 hours a week. So, and Martha says, I'm not saying I don't love what I do. And these mostly are professionals that are commenting on this page. But it changes when you're older. Call me when you're 58. Tell me how it's going. It is true. You do get more tired. And I think it's mentally even more than physically. I think age does play a factor after you've been doing it for so long.
I didn't like what she said, because I'm just not like a negative. I don't like to post negative comments. I think what he said was very honest, and she's like, wait till you're older.
Well, but I appreciate what she's saying, because I'm her age. And I understand what she said.
You're not 58 yet.
No,
I'm
56.
54.
No, 56. So, And then Tracy says, when you have a farm, there's never really a day off. In my opinion, we leave for vacation in 1 week. I will think about the farm 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Again, it's what we were just talking about. You know who has it worse than we do? And I used to be in the business where I did investments and estate planning, and it was mostly for dairy farmers. Those guys, that sucks. Because those cows need milk twice a day, every day, no matter what. And they truly never get a break. I mean, we can find somebody to feed our horses tonight, and we can spend the afternoon and go to Disney and have the afternoon and evening off if you really want to. Those dairy farmers, you got to find somebody to milk your cows. And you got to find somebody who knows how to milk your cows. And then make sure the milk is, everything happens to the milk before it goes on the truck. That's just a tough life.
For years in Phoenix, I evented, for the whole time I lived there, vented with a woman whose husband's a dairy farmer, and she's a very lovely person. And I mean, I saw her at every competition, every schooling show, every everything. She was always very involved. And you know how many times I saw her husband?
None. Zero.
Zero. Zero.
It's true. These guys were the hardest working people I had ever seen in my life. And I would go out there. Sometimes they would want the appointment while they're milking. The only time I could talk to them was while they're milking, because by the time they got in the house at 7:30 at night, they wanted to eat and go to bed. That was it. Yeah. Jennifer, you had a comment?
Well, I think you already made the point that I think anybody who is self-employed, as we are, it's a similar lifestyle, except that without the livestock involved, it does make it a little bit easier, because you can't feed the horses in advance and then take the afternoon off.
That's true.
We can record things ahead of time and then take an afternoon
actually,
off.
Actually, Scooter would prefer we fed him in advance and later. He would prefer both.
Well, yeah. He'll come back and get us later. You can't, and they're like our little kids. We're all so detail oriented with them. Yeah.
You mean you can't chase them around in the field with a blanket and hope they stop? Oh,
no.
Did we lose Jamie? I was expecting.
I didn't hear what you said.
I said, you mean we can't chase them around in the field and hope they stop with the blanket?
You know what? He was not having any part of that. Neither one of them are. So he's like, I kept trying to blanket Zara and she just kept walking off. I'm like, did you put a halter on her? Well, no. Then last night, then this happens. You're right. You can't take a vacation. He's like, well, I was trying to get Drax and Zara up in the stall. I was going to leave him in the stall all night. And I was like, okay. He's like, but the automatic water broke in the Zara stall. So I thought I'll just let her out. And so I let her out. And in like 2 seconds, Drax in the bar by himself started breaking out. No kidding.
Boy, he is making like, a lot of the rookie horse husband mistakes,
God,
isn't he?
Oh my God. I'm like, you know what? You're coming to the next clinic. Flag is up. You're going to get some horsemanship lessons.
Even I know you don't leave one in by themselves.
That's what I was like. I actually said to him, I go, are you new? Are you new to this?
Yeah, but he is new to having stalls like you do.
It's true.
He is new to that. So I'm going to defend him a little bit. Things have changed. But how did he break the automatic water already? Jeez.
So, there's just some plumbing tweaks that have to, one of them is dripping. So if you just leave it alone, it just
freezes
leaks.
Into
so,
an ice skating rink by the time morning comes around.
Exactly. So we've got this, and I go, babe, we have 7 stalls. Why didn't you just move her into another stall? Well, I'm like, just... put her in another stall. Like, this is not hard. You literally could open up her stall door and open up the stall door across from her, and she will go in that stall because she thinks there's food in there. Like, I mean, rookie moves.
Who slept
Come
on the couch
on,
last
Chad
night, by the
Dink.
Way? Who slept on the couch? You or him?
He's on an airline trip. He's in, you know where he's spending the night tonight? As far away from me as possible. He's spending the night in Bogota, Colombia. Okay?
And he's happy about it.
So one of us is happy about it. And I can tell you which.
You know, one more thing, and then we'll hear from Monty. So one of the other comments on this post, and it's the thing that naturally is a progression of everything we just talked about. And this, Lee says, one of the hardest parts is trying to explain to your non-horsey family why you can't be at most of the family functions. They just don't get it. And
let me point out that it is a fantastic excuse.
It is.
I mean, I'm like, ooh, I'm not going to be able to make that. I have to feed. It's awesome.
But it is true at the ones that you actually want to go to, and then the horse colics. You know, and then you don't end up there. So, and they don't understand why you're not there. They just don't get horse colicking. So, but that is the progression of what everything we just talked about is that you are not the best family member in the world. That is for sure.
That's true.
Well, let's do this. Let's hear from Monty, who gives good advice, and then we'll hear some bad advice. How about
okay,
we
hold
do
on.
It that?
Let me point out something.
Yeah.
I kind of explained it a little bit, but somebody wants to send me a horse to train.
Okay.
And about this question, and the horse is showing them signs of aggression, I guess. And I read it in the thing. So he kind of halfway is talking through the interview to the owner. And finally, I stop him in the middle of it. I'm like, hey, no, talk to me. Like, I'm training the horse. And he tells me something. that after that, and I never heard it before. And I've read everything of his. I mean, my God, I've like years of studying him. And I've never heard this piece of advice before. And then after the interview, we walk out of his that room and he goes, I hadn't thought of that in 50 years. I was like, what? He's like, I don't think I put that in a book anywhere. I haven't thought of that. I haven't thought of that situation in 50 years. And I was like, well, you're welcome. Write that down.
Another book coming.
Here we go. So here's the advice from Monty on a horse that's aggressive.
And it's Monty Roberts, of course, in case you're just joining us.
All right. Well, I'm sitting here with Monty Roberts at Flag Is Up Farms, and we have a listener question for you. And it's actually a question that was asked of me, but I want your perspective before I tackle any challenge like this. So the question is, I'm looking for a trainer for my horse, and they were sent to me, but she says that she has recently adopted an off-the-track thoroughbred. She adopted two. One is great and easygoing, but the other is my baby and seems very unpredictable. He seems to be aggressive around my other family, and he will even get that way with me if others are around. Plus, I haven't ridden in quite a while, and I'm not used to a green horse. What do I do?
Well, is he a gelding or...
Gelding.
A gelding going aggressive, that's quite unusual. And, of course, my first suggestion is be careful. Don't give him any opportunities to really hurt anyone. And try to get him right with you before you bring other family members in that he may not respect.
So she's gonna send him to me to train.
I see.
So you're actually addressing this
I'm
almost
addressing
to me.
What you should
yeah.
Do.
What do yeah. I do?
Well, Jamie, be careful. My first advice is to take great precautions of any horse that's tending to be aggressive. And this means a good dually halter. This means schooling with that dually halter till he respects it to a fare thee well. It means lots of work. And it means no pain delivered by a human being. And he probably is angry about something from the past. And just like a wounded veteran, he is flashing back to what happened to him before. So introduce the owner and others with caution and only gradually, but only after you have him foolproof for yourself. And if he never is foolproof for yourself, don't recommend that owners or novice people handle him at all. That's critical. There's nothing worth getting someone badly injured or killed with an aggressive horse, and they have the tools to do that with. Not that any horse wants to. It's their reaction to what humans have done to them. So nobody's going to blame you if you say this horse is not right for you. If they do blame you, they're wrong, so they shouldn't blame you. But you're protecting them too. But work and controlling with the right instruments that are not painful, but that they will respect, the dually halter being certainly one of them. Driving on the lines and that sort of thing until the horse is using up all of his excess energies and not just having a nerve system that's looking for trouble. That's key. But long lining. And then, you know, a horse like that often does well teaching them to drive. And you don't have to have a carriage, but if you can put them on the long lines and have them drag something, and always that you can release it if they go panicky, you can trip a knot and they release from the thing they're dragging, then you're sparing them any injuries they might have by running away. But I tell you, when you put a horse to work like that, dragging something that's scary behind them can even be a big tractor tire, starting out with a little tire, and a slip knot, trip knot that you can take it away with if they panic, is very helpful for those kind of horses.
Why would dragging something or pulling something help an aggressive horse?
It would help them by overcoming their excess energies, one, but two, giving them a job to do so that they can see that they're achieving something and that their tendency is not to flash back to what happened before, because it's a dramatic change in their life to do that kind of thing. And for whatever reason, I've had really good luck with aggressive horses learning to pull heavy weights for long distances in the sand and stuff, you know? And they get down and they work at it, and then you give them a stroke and walk away, and their mind goes to another place. And it helps a lot.
All right.
I recall a man telling me this in the 1940s, and I thought it was silly, you know, and he said, "Have you ever seen a workhorse that was aggressive?" And I said, "No, I haven't." He said, "Well, they have a job to do. And they think about their job, and they don't blame anybody for the job that they do. And they'll do it willingly. Horses are incredibly generous creatures. But no whips and no pain of any kind. Constriction, restriction, control, yes. But no elevation of adrenaline on the part of the human, and try to keep their elevation down as well." And I think maybe the driving aspect of it takes down that energy that they have, and it takes down adrenaline. They have to just get down there and be at work without getting excited about it. And you can just keep going another mile if you want in the sand. And then they don't have adrenaline. They just do their job. It's worked for me.
Cool. I will definitely give that a go. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, that's very interesting, because that's basically how you teach a horse to drive, right? And when Scooter, when we're hooking him up to the cart and he's being all you know, fussy and really over the top, I just drive. We have stones in the driveway. I drive him around the stones. He puts his head down, goes to work. He can't really go fast. The cart's sinking. It's a little work. Or in the sand, and they just go to work. He's right. They kind of forget about being stupid.
I love the, "Have you ever seen a workhorse that was aggressive?" Well... No.
Mostly just tired.
The horse came from the same rescue organization that Gruden Drax came from, and this woman adopted a couple, and one is great and one is having some of those issues. So I will see, you know, I'm getting set up now and we'll see how it goes.
Well, and it's interesting too. I think, you know, also you're a little bit away from the horse in that situation, so you're not right in the horse's space. Because you're basically long lining, you're driving them, and they're pulling the tire or whatever, which again.
Well, you got to get there somehow, though.
yeah, you do. But I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting. Yeah. And you're right. I would not have expected that to come out of Monty's mouth.
Like I said, when we walked away, he goes, "I hadn't thought about that in 50 years.
Well, Jennifer, you've been trying out a product from one of our sponsors, and Jamie, I know you had gotten these too, but we have nicer weather, so Jennifer actually can ride. So Jennifer, what did you try out? What are the results?
Well, I tried out a new product from Total Saddle Fit. I want to preface this with, when you were a novice rider, Jamie, coming up through the ranks, one of the struggles that we have is you have the riding instructor who tells you, okay, we're going to put a dollar bill under your calf, or we're going to tie your stirrups to your girth, and all sorts of crazy things that we have to do to try to get our lower leg to stay where it's supposed to. Did you have any of those?
Dude, I mean, my lower leg has been a struggle. I mean, it was a struggle for 30 years. cares? Like, that's the one thing you always worry about is the lower leg. And I never, ever won a ride a buck division, ever.
Well, you know, I thought at this point in my life that I had a pretty decent leg. I thought, well, you know, I kind of conquered this. Big deal. Who needs stability stirrup leathers? So I got them.
Because we're perfect.
We're perfect.
And we don't need that stuff.
There's a lot of things that need fixing. For example, my left seat bone. But my lower leg was pretty good. Yeah. So I slapped these on my spare saddle and said, oh, we'll take them out. We'll give them a run through. And I did not realize how much unnecessary muscle I was putting into keeping my lower leg where it's supposed to be until I put these on. And I went, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. My leg's where it's supposed to be. And I don't have to squeeze anything. This is amazing.
Really?
It's one of those products. You don't know you need it until you put it on your saddle.
That's interesting. So you got the jump stirrups and then yes. I just got the dressage stirrups. So yes. I will this week, we're supposed to have a couple
stirrup
of nice
leathers.
Days,
Let's clarify that.
Yeah. Stirrup leathers. Yeah. Sorry. And so I will put them on my dressage saddle because my jump leg, I always feel is really good, but man, in dressage, I'm a disaster.
Yeah.
And it helps me do a sitting trot. My God, I'm in.
Yeah, it's weird. The stirrup leather is shaped a little different than a traditional stirrup leather. It's a traditional stirrup leather. It's got the buckle at the top. It's got 12 holes like every other regular stirrup leathers. But the top part that's closest to your actual physical leg is a little bit wider, and then it narrows when it gets to the point where your stirrup iron has to go through it. And somehow or another, I don't understand the physics, that adds an enormous amount of stability, but they're made of a really thin, strong calf skin that's been lined with nylon, so they still are really thin. I was very worried that they would feel like a big old lump under my thigh where the stirrup bar is. It's like, ooh. But no, they're very slim. And of course, they're from Total Saddle Fit, so they're really well made. So yeah, give them a try. I think I want to hear what your reaction is. And listeners can go to totalsaddlefit.com and check out what's available because they come in jumping length and dressage length. So there's something for everybody.
And they have black for my dressage saddle, and then Jen got the brown ones for her jump saddle. So they have a selection.
Well, and the other thing about Total Saddle Fit is you don't have to worry about it because he guarantees that you'll like it. If you don't, he pays shipping both ways. If you want to return it, he'll pay the shipping both ways. So you just send it back. And that's true of any of his products. So he's so that confident in all the products into the girths we've been talking about for 5 years. And now these, and I looked at them and they do look different. Is the fatter part, so the fatter part that goes under your leg, that it's probably twice the width of most stirrup leathers I've seen. Is it thinner there, Jennifer? Is it thinner, you know, depth-wise?
It's the same thinness.
As the rest.
As well, it might be a tiny bit
thinner. I thought it looked a little thinner.
It's very flat. Once I had them on the saddle and rode around for half an hour, everything got, you know, the leather got warmed up and smooshed and shaped like my saddle. It's very thin. Yeah, it looks wide in the pictures, but I was really surprised at how thin they were able to make that and still very, very strong.
I'm just jealous that you rode around and something got warm.
We jumped jumps too, so there you go.
Oh God, I don't want to talk to you.
So they come in 48 for little people, 54 in regular size people, in the brown jumping, and then in the black dressage they come in 54 for little people and 60 for bigger people.
All right. While we're waiting for Leslie to show up on her normal Monday visit, we have some of this.
And now it's time for bad advice for horse people by horse people.
Y'all are, this is just, I mean, not y'all, because our listeners would never do things like this. There's a picture associated with this. This is a Facebook post and there are comments underneath it. Okay, long story short, there was a snowstorm. My parents are without power or water. The horses need water. I am over 4 hours away. My parents want to give horses water from the pool. It hasn't been chemically treated, and there's lots of algae. See picture. I'm freaking out. Can this hurt them? Is there a water delivery service in Northern California? Ugh. The picture is of a pool, like down into the pool.
A pool that you would have at your house.
Like a swimming pool.
Yeah, okay.
In-ground swimming
pool. By the way, I don't know any pools that haven't been treated by chlorine. Let's just start there.
Why don't you just let me do my thing?
Okay.
The pool, what you don't realize is that I've had a pool and the half-life of chlorine is like 3 days. So your chlorine is gone almost in like a week. That's why you always have to buy chlorine and keep putting it in. Anyway, there's obviously no chlorine in this because it's full of algae.
Okay.
And when I say it's full of algae, it's like algae on the sides and on the bottom, but the water is actually still fairly clear. Okay. So that's the picture. Water on this algae on the sides, blue water, clear water, algae on the bottom. The first comment is, well, you never drain a pool completely. So there's leftover chemicals in that water. Okay. These are people helping. This is a person frantic for water for her horses in the weather, has no power. Here we go. I'd probably find a cheesecloth or something to run the water through just to get the big chunks out. What? You want me to put a cheesecloth over a bucket and strain the water? Okay. The next person
said, we'd get the big chunks out. There's no question about that.
I mean, again, you can see from the picture, there's not algae floating on the top of this. It's not like in The Karate Kid, that pool that Danielson was supposed to do. It's like all muck. It's just water with some algae on the bottom. It reminds me of something, Glenn. It reminds me of a horse's water trough.
I was just going to say, I've seen water troughs with green all over.
Yes, exactly. Is there still snow? Our boys will eat that while they're out, and then they don't even want to come back to the barn. I thought, well, that's sensible. And the person underneath it goes, horses can't eat snow. They need real water.
Well, no, they do eat snow.
And it is water.
It is real water. When you melt it, it is real. That's the other option if they have any heat source, but that would take a lot of snow.
Your issue is leptospirosis from other critters drinking out, or if there's a dead animal floating in the pool, do not let them drink it. There's not a dead animal floating in the pool. There's a freaking picture. You should add goldfish to the pool and see if they survive. And if the goldfish survive, then maybe it will be okay for your horses.
Okay, let's start with they're without power. They've been totally snowed in, and they're supposed to go out, buy goldfish, come back, and wait 3 days for the goldfish to die.
Exactly. They need
and by then,
water.
The horses have died.
This is bad advice.
Everybody's going to be dead. Everybody's dead.
That's my thoughts exactly. Let's take some time here. Some of these are fairly time consuming.
Somebody actually wrote that. Are you making that up, the goldfish one?
I cannot. Her name is Sally. I'll tell you that. The next person said, and again, time is of the essence, people.
Yeah.
You can go to most camping supply stores and get water purification tablets and just follow the directions on the tablet container. How many water purification tablets do you need to put in all day?
And if
pool?
They could go to that store, they can get water from the neighbor's house. I mean,
you know, one of my horses steals water out of my pool every chance she gets. It scared me the first time I saw it happen. Thought she was going to fall in, but she's fine. They will fall in.
But they also will drink water for wherever they can get it. That is true, too. Yeah.
How many news stories have we done where the horse was rescued out of
a thousand. Yeah, and we had the draft horses that fell in the icy pond over the weekend that got rescued. That was all over the place.
Take a heater and melt some snow. I kept my...
I thought about that, but how much snow are you going to need to feed those, or drink, give those horses a drink? A lot of snow.
Get in here and melt some snow. I kept my horses alive a whole winter that way.
God, they melted a lot of snow.
What? Where are you living? Oh my God. Why did you keep your horses alive a whole winter by melting snow? I think it's annoying to soak Zeus's hay. God. And then she writes back, we don't have any electricity.
Somebody exactly.
somebody writes underneath it, build a fire.
One blizzard we had in Pennsylvania. We lost power for like 10 days and we were snowed in. We had a mile long driveway and there were 9-foot drifts. There was nobody getting back to us. We were by ourselves and the power was out. We had nothing. We actually started taking the upstairs of the bank barn where the hay is, the hay loft. We started taking it apart and burning the wood from the barn. Because the drifts were 9 feet. I mean, we couldn't get to wood.
That's just brutal. Yeah, I mean, there's so much wrong with all of these comments, Glenn. The next person says, our dogs drink from our saltwater pool all the time. Well, that's not good. Drinking salt water is not good. And shut down their kidneys. Can you drop some of those trough blocks in there? It's a blue sulfur brick.
Yeah, we all have loads lying around in a snowstorm. What?
I'm not going to drop a blue sulfur brick in my pool. So my horses drink sulfur? Ugh.
So what would you have done? I would have dipped water out and offered it to the horses.
I'll get a bucket and put in that pool right now.
That's right. Jennifer, would you have done that? Would you have done that? Would you just offered them the water?
If it was one of the, if it was a pool that had not been...
well, obviously the pump hasn't been running, so there's no...
Stop. Let me remind y'all that there is more chlorine in your drinking water than ever put in a pool.
That's true.
Well, there's more than chlorine in pool chemicals, though. There's lots of other stuff in there besides chlorine that doesn't disappear.
Do you think that there's not any other chemicals in your drinking water?
Well, sure. Well, they don't put the same stuff in pool water that they put in drinking water. I'm not saying what they... all said was nice, but you know, if it was a pool that was sitting around all summer long, I might give it a try.
And also, let's be real here. They're giving it to them for 1 or 2 days. It's not like it's going to be a permanent source of water. So
the advice gets a little more heated as we go.
I bet
it does. If there is snow, the horses will eat the snow and be just fine. And yet another person writes, horses cannot get adequate water from eating snow. They must have actual water.
Okay. Kind of, sort of.
Yeah. The next person ramps it up by changing the subject. Really helpful. Everyone's saying they have algae in their water troughs because some people are like, hey, there's algae in your water troughs. Like, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Big deal. This person, and her last name is Strange. Everyone's saying they have algae in your water troughs. Don't you ever clean them out? I sure do. My horses never, ever have filthy algae water.
Here in Florida, overnight the water gets that way.
I was going to say, live in Phoenix for one day.
Yeah.
Algae's in the air here.
Yeah. Exactly.
You will come out in the morning and those sides of those buckets are going to be green. We literally have to scrub it every day of the summer.
This chick was really helpful. This is really helpful. You don't need water in the field. My boarding barn is the first one I've come along, and we don't have water outside, and they just drink when they come inside. They're only outside 8 to 10 hours. That's a problem.
That is a problem. Choice, right? And on that note, we'll leave it with that and say hi to Leslie.
Oh, God. It just got better, though, because then they started discussing cyanobacteria and how everybody's going to die. Oh, one person said, how much does your horse have to drink before it dies? Just go into town to supplies or you play Russian roulette with your precious horses. And then another one was, if you have 55-gallon drums, fill that with pool water and put it on bricks and start a fire underneath it and boil the water. That's convenient.
Wow!
Don't forget to clean the oil out of the drum. Yeah, we have the saw to cut the drum in half.
To boil 55 gallons of water.
How much fire do you need to start a fire underneath a tub, a 55-gallon drum of unhit? Oh, my God, there's just so much. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, I'm going to keep going. Taking some notes here.
If you ever have to get your pool, like say you were out of water. Or say there's a friend of yours. They're out of water. They have no power, no electricity.
You're snowed in.
You're snowed in. You can't go anywhere. And they have a pool that has some algae on the bottom and sides. Mm-hmm. What would you tell them to do to get their horse water? There's a very obvious option right here. And that is to take a bucket and dip it in the pool.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. That was too obvious. I thought there was
she thought it was a trick question.
You are in a fix. Just scrape the algae off, unless it's cyanobacterias. And by the way, I'm going to say the word because here in a second, and it's spelled B-E-C-U-Z. Because if your horses don't have water, their kidneys will collapse by day three, and then all caps, and the Y-O-U is spelled Y-U. You're going to have to make a trip into town to stock up on water from those huge plastic containers you can use when camping until life is semi-normal again. You can't scrape cyanobacteria off anything. The toxins are in the water. Your dogs are going to die if they drink out of that.
Wow.
The other option is just to try it yourself and see how sick you get in a couple hours.
Yeah. It's how much algae is in your water drop. Oh, my God.
All right, Leslie, let's...
It's not rocket science. Go buy your horses some friggin' water.
Let's move on.
Oh, God. It's just... Bad advice really irritates Glenn. It really, really gets him. how are
pro
you,
tips.
My dear?
Pro tips from the internet.
Oh yeah, it's called. That's why the segment is called "Bad Advice for Horse People." Like, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Glenn's on, so we can definitely talk about all sorts of fun pregnancy stuff. What do you want to talk about today? What's going on in your pregnancy world?
Oh man, well I don't know. I'm in third trimester now, and is real. It is real. I feel like I'm just getting beat up from the inside out. Constantly.
And for new listeners, Leslie is with Horse Nation and Eventing Nation and is very pregnant and has been actually joining us for 8 years, 9 years now since we started.
In full with a colt. With a colt.
That's right.
Do you guys have names worked out yet?
Yeah. It's going to be Thomas Wiley Bateman.
Oh, that's right.
So, but we don't know. We don't know if we'll call him Thomas or Wiley yet, but we'll... We'll figure it out. We got
with Wiley. That's
I
you.
Know, right.
I love that option. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people probably have called you that forever.
Yeah.
What if he comes out and you're like, man, he doesn't look like a Thomas. He looks like a Lewis. What are you going to do?
I know. I think you just got to change course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Tommy's going to love that, her husband. Yeah, he's going to love that idea.
Sorry about this family name. He could have been Thomas the Fourth, but instead we're going to call him Steve.
And, you know, let's be honest. When babies come out, they all look kind of the same. It doesn't matter what you name them, right? Because they're all...
You know what? I mean, I have always seen baby pictures of babies, like, fresh out, you know, and you're just like, ugh. Except for one. There was one baby picture I saw, and I was like, this is a seriously cute baby. And his name was Lucas.
Yeah, see?
Right.
Like, what happens to you as a parent? Like, I don't know. They're just, all of a sudden, yours is the prettiest, obviously.
That's what I'm hoping will happen, because I'm not into babies. Like, people, like, little newborn babies that I've seen, you know, but I'm like, Leslie. Oh, that's nice.
And have you ever changed a diaper?
Like, that looks like an alien.
Have you ever changed a diaper? That'd be a no.
Leslie, the first diaper I changed was in the hospital after my son was born. So I had no idea. I actually, Chad and I went and took a parenting class on like how to swaddle and how to put on diapers and stuff, but it's never the same. And I, about the baby, they're awful. Just awful. I mean, they're helpless. They try to die. They just lay there and cry and eat and poop. And then all of a sudden they start rolling over. And then you're like, well, you can't just set them down anymore and you can't just set them down anything anyway because you need freaking like blankets.
Can
Somebody
I just,
don't think you're
can
terrible
I just
parent.
Jump in here?
No,
and,
you can't.
Yeah, I can
because you're a man.
Think about what you just said. All the things you just said about a baby apply to horses.
I can set my horse down. I don't have to stare at him.
Yeah, but they
again.
Try and kill themselves. They pee and poop. You have to clean it up. All of those things apply to horses.
That's probably why I didn't like having a baby, because I already had babies.
Right?
Are we talking you out of this, Leslie? Are you ready?
Leslie, when they're like 2 and a half, your house arrest will be lifted. Okay, you'll get the ankle bracelet off, and then all of a sudden you can go places. But it takes 2.5 years. So I am I am here.
Are you intentionally trying to get her suicidal?
I love these Monday weekly pep talks from Jamie. Whatever the opposite of a pep talk is, she's like, "Your life is over.
You're done."
No, but that's what I'm telling you is you will feel like your life is over. I got really depressed afterwards, and I didn't even realize it. But you'll feel like your life is over, but then all of a sudden it opens back up, and so you will be okay. And look, my kid is 5 and a half now, and he's a blast.
And apparently you'll get Monday therapy sessions every Monday here at Horses.
You'd be like, only 2 years, 4 months ago.
Yeah, but at 5 months, they start smiling on purpose. And
all right, Jamie, let's let the poor girl love.
Okay, that's why they make Zoloft. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's good.
Let's let the poor girl enjoy her the rest of her pregnancy.
Right.
Hey, I wish somebody would have told me this stuff, okay? I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was getting into. I'm here for you, all right?
I know you are.
Well, Leslie, I was off playing boat over the weekend, playing with boats in Miami, and I missed this. Is there actually going to be another WAG? What's the story? I thought we weren't going to have another WAG.
Well, it's not completely off the table, but, you know, they opened the bidding process twice for, you know, last year for an actual proper WAG with all seven disciplines in one place, and they got no viable bids. So then they decided to open it up to the possibility of different venues hosting different disciplines. And so they opened that process up a couple of months ago, and they've apparently gotten tons of bids.
So let me ask you though, you're talking about separate venues for the different disciplines. Don't all those disciplines have world championships anyway? So what's the difference?
But, do they? No.
Well,
not really.
Yeah, most of them do. The Rainers all have a world championship, and, you know, the para people go and have world champ. They all have world championships. That's what I don't get. The WAG made it different because everybody was together.
Yeah.
Did anybody bid for all of them?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like anybody's bid for all of them. No one. They said no realistic bids were submitted.
I got $29. I'll have it in my backyard.
But they are. I'll do it.
But they did say that multi-discipline bids will be given preference, and that dressage and para will be combined.
And there's lots of venues that could do the big three, that could do the Olympic disciplines, right? The jumping, eventing, and dressage. They can handle those. It's when you get into all the indoor stuff and the reining and the vaulting and all of that, that it really does and driving complicates it immensely.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
like Aachen could bid for those three and do it really well, right?
Yeah, exactly. And didn't Aachen host the World Games?
Some time ago,
a long time ago. But
well, then you might have a Kentucky interested if they only had to do three, right?
It's interesting. It's I wonder who in the States has put in a bid. That would be
We got a new one in the mix with the World Equestrian Center opening in 2021 too. So that changes things a little bit here, too.
Yeah. It's like trying to just bid for it again and be like, we got it this time.
We'll be done construction by then.
Yeah, we'll be done with construction by then, probably.
Mm-hmm. And we won't do it in September during hurricane season.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see. So everybody's supposed to have their bids in by today, and then they'll make a decision in November.
All right,
so we shall see.
Very good. And then the other story.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, we can never let a quiz go by without without taking it.
I'm looking for it online. I was trying to take it. I can't click on it here, so I was looking on my phone, but I can't find it. So I need to take this quiz.
Okay, so yeah, so it's which the theme of this one, which is by a Horse Nation contributor Deanne Long Sloan, is which stereotypical high school trope is your horse? So, so it's like flashback to high school. Where is your horse sitting in the cafeteria? What tables? Okay. What tables? Like, I can never. I don't know if it's just me. I can never get enough of these like horse quizzes. Like the what Hogwarts house would your horse be sorted into, or like what Game of Thrones kingdom would your horse be part of? But so I can't get enough of these quizzes, but this one's one I have not seen before. What is your sort of stereotypical high school trope? You know, so like jocks, cheerleaders, geeks, goths, you know, all those.
Let's fire away with the questions here.
Okay. So this one's, it's not a super one. It's to take on the air here because it's pretty long. But it's, so you have to, there's six questions, but they're all pretty, pretty long and involved. So I would encourage everyone to go take it, but they're all sort of like, the questions are, put your horses in kind of various scenarios and
give me one of these situations. Give me one.
How about like you haul your horse to a new to you venue. There are sponsor banners along the walls, trailers with generators, music in the background, dogs and children running around, golf carts, and quite a bit of car and horse traffic. Your horse ... let's see, like one of them's like he doesn't bat an eye. The distractions at the venue are exactly that, distractions for those who are less focused and can't keep pace. or is in his or her element. This is what she was bred to do. This is just one more step on the road to being a champion. that's got to be the jock.
Right.
Is a little nervous, but looks to you for guidance and lets you coax her along. By the end of the day, he or she is confidently trekking right along. So there's all these sort of different and then it goes on and on, and there's all these different scenarios that if you take all the questions
and you plug them into the personality, the Horse Nation personality machine, you'll find out.
So I have to tell you what Princess got, because it's so perfect, because this is really what she is, the 4.0 unicorn. Your horse is the unicorn. She's beautiful, intelligent, and athletic, and her conformation stunning. This horse pony is good at everything and knows it. Show her a skill once, she has it down. Ask the wrong way, she'll let you know. There's no funny business with this horse because it's well beneath her, but she expects the same perfection that she embodies from everyone around her. If your horse were a high schooler, she would take AP classes, carry a 4.0, and be the captain of every team on which she plays. She would abhor group projects because she does all the work anyway. And no, you can't copy this horse's notes. Like, nailed it.
Don't copy my paper.
Yeah.
Of course not.
But I mean, think about it. Like, what would your horses be? Can you what little clique would they fit into?
Zeus would be the bully. He's like the high school bully, because he tells everybody where to go and when to go there. But he's also like an athlete too, because he works. If you ask him to do something, he'll do it till he dies.
Yeah,
he is hardworking bully.
I was thinking about Scooter. Scooter would be the guy that's stacking your locker so your books all fall out when you open it. He'd be tripping you in the hallway. You know, he's the super smart one, but he just is constantly picking. He'd be the one picking at the girl's hair in class the whole time.
Pulling pigtails.
Yes, yes, that annoying
kid. Can't you just apply yourself, Scooter?
That's right. Jennifer, do you disagree with that? That's Scooter, isn't it? That would be him. He'd be that annoying one.
Oh, totally. No argument there.
That's funny. Yeah, my right arm is longer than my left arm after yesterday. Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah. I can't wait to take it and see what they end up. Nigel, too. It'll be interesting to see how Nigel ends up in this test.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's a good quiz. It's pretty accurate. I recommend.
So how long do we have again to have you on this show before you bail out on us and have a baby?
I mean, technically, my due date is day 2 dressage at Kentucky.
Oh, that's right.
It's easy to remember.
That's right. It's easy to remember. And you're not risking it coming in. You don't have your baby at the hospital in Lexington?
Yeah, I don't know.
The deal. I mean, we know listeners we know a rider that got married on course. David O'Connor married him. I'm sure he could deliver your baby.
Yeah, I can just have the baby during the tailgate party.
You know, there are a lot of medics on the ground that day.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be fine. Right. Yeah.
It's fine.
It'll be good. I've been to that hospital. It's very nice. So
do a little water birth and the water jump.
The water jump.
Gross. Don't drink the water because there's algae in it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we got a couple months with you yet, is what I heard.
Yeah.
So good. All right. Good. Cool. Well, thank you, Leslie. Appreciate you joining us at Horse Nation, Eventing Nation, and Jumper Nation, and Sport Horse Nation, and all the nations.
Have a great week.
Put horse, something horsey in nation, and you'll find them.
Yeah.
It'll be there.
Exactly.
Thank you, Leslie.
Love you, Nina. Thank you for coming on.
Bye.
Bye.
You're going to have her at the psychiatrist's office before she has this baby.
I want to be real. People need to know.
Jeez.
Do you know what, though? I'll tell you. When you're pregnant, everybody tells you they're horrific story about birth. Like, everything's about being pregnant leading up to the birth, but nobody tells you what happens afterwards. Mm. I mean, nobody gives you any advice afterwards. But I found that the whole, like, you know, birth thing compared to being pregnant and how horrible and long lasting that is.
Well, I was going to say it takes 24 hours to, you know, at the tops for most people to give birth. It takes 18 years for everything else.
Yeah, the birth part is like the least of your worries, okay?
That's why I asked her if she had ever changed a diaper, because I didn't think so.
I had never done it either. It's just a horse chick thing, you know? None of my friends have kids.
You've cleaned a lot of poop, just not out of a diaper.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't use a pitchfork to pick up human poop.
Jennifer still hasn't, I don't think, to this day.
Nope. Never going to happen.
Neither one of us have. I have never changed a diaper either. Be honest. So, and we're not volunteering. I'm not asking that is it's not on my life list. I'm just saying.
So my mom, after Lucas was born, came to visit, and she was like, one of the few times after he was a baby, she came and she was like, he must have been like 8 months or something. Like, you know, he's having like human poo. And she's like, yeah. Here's your kid. I think he needs a change. And I was like, well, get in there and change him. What the hell did you come here for? If you're not going to help me change your diaper, you better get in there right now. Go ahead, powder that butt. You're the grandmother. You can do this. She's like, okay. Okay.
Knew not to argue with you.
Don't argue with me about this. I know you think that your little grandmother thing, you're going to be all wine and roses. I'm just going to sit here and play with the kid and hand it back. Not in my house. Don't even think about it.
You know, there are some, like, my parents were not very good grandparents. They were done. They figured they had four boys. They put up with the four of us. They were done. I don't think they probably ever babysat. And then there's some grandparents that just can't get enough. I mean, it's one or the other.
And you got my dad, who was lit, like, we were not allowed to have a piece of sugar. Do not do this. Do not do that. Do not break your toys. Do not play too hard. Keep it down. Lucas, like, runs across him at full blast, screaming, eating Fun Dip. And my dad bought for him. You know? I'm like, what the hell? Who are you? What happened to you? He's like, when Lucas was born, he looked at me and my brothers, and he goes, you know what? Y'all get nothing. Kid gets it all. He gets it all.
All right, thanks, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Of course, you can find us at horsesinthemorning.com. All of the past 2,100 episodes are there. Plus, Certified Horsemanship Association tomorrow. Christy is here. We talked about them a little earlier in the show. Jamie's back on Wednesday. And then fox hunting on Thursday, which is turning to be very popular. We get a lot of comments on the fox hunting episode now, so we're glad we added that. And then we will have some really bad ads on Friday. So get your ads into Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Thank y'all.
Retired Racehorse Radio tomorrow, the second edition. So stick around. Stick around. Listen to the first one. Hey, Nitter Gal, love you.